done preparing that. Man, what a blessing. Really what the music did today was preach a message. I really don't need to be up here. Right? Amen. Wonderful job. Take your Bible, if you would, Luke chapter 24. I know that we've got some youngsters here with us. I'll try not to be super long. But what I'd like to do is just sort of give you some background of why we were singing what we were singing here this morning. The Easter story. Luke chapter 24. Well, Jesus had 12 disciples, and the death of Jesus had taken the disciples by surprise. They were not expecting this to happen at all. The disciples hoped, as many did, that Jesus would be the Messiah that would take and break the Roman oppression over the Jewish people. They had not seen the bigger, more eternal picture that God had been weaving throughout history, and that is that Jesus would not break oppression in some obscure history time, but rather that He would do something much greater than that. He would break the oppression of sin, eternal, universal. I think she's doing laps. Sin. And sin is that which separates us from God. This brings us to our text, Luke chapter 24. Look with me, if you would, at verse 36. And as they, the disciples, were talking about these things, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See My hands and feet, that it is Myself? Touch Me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when they had said this, He showed them His hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, "Have you here anything to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate before them. So folks, these poor disciples are really on an emotional roller coaster. First, they have to watch their beloved Master die. They have to bury Him, and then He shows up. I don't know how you would feel, but I think I'd be a mess. And Jesus is like, "It's okay. Peace be to you." And He says, "I'm not a spirit. Let me show you that I'm not a spirit. Give me something to eat." You know, Jesus is a guy. He's like, "Let's eat something together." And He eats something. He says, "Listen, I'm not a spirit. I have a real body here." And then look with me at verse 44. Then He said to them, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So Jesus says to His disciples, "Guys, I did give you some hints. I did leave some stuff here for you to understand." He says, "I know that you say you know the Old Testament very well. I want you to use your mind with Me, disciples, and I want you to go back. You know, the first man and woman in the garden, when they sinned against God and God separated them, pushed them out of the garden, and He talked to the serpent. What did He say to the serpent? He says, number one, you're going to crawl on your belly, which is hard for me to get my mind around. I can't imagine a snake like 5'6", you know, walking around. He says, you're going to lay on your belly. But then He also says this. He says, "I will put enmity or struggle between you, serpent, and the woman's seed." Now, that's ultimately talking about Jesus Christ. He says, her seed will bruise your head. In other words, give you a death blow. But you will only bruise His heel. In the wilderness, Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, and whoever looked and looked with faith was healed. Jesus says, "Disciples, I left you some hints. In the law of Moses, it talks about Me and this Passion Week. The law of Moses is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the traditions and the sacrifices. And what the sacrifices in the Jewish system were meant to show was that man could never truly be good enough to please God. They always had to do something to try to fix it. They sinned. Ultimately, that was pointing to Jesus, who would do that for us, which we could not do for ourselves. He was good enough for us. The law of Moses, and he says, written in the prophets, probably the most well-known prophet would be Isaiah. Let me read you this passage. It says here in Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." So, many years before Jesus ever showed up on the scene, prophets were writing about exactly about what he would do. He's saying, disciples, I did leave you some hints. And it says in the Psalms, the Psalm speaks directly to Jesus and not seeing corruption when he died. The Bible teaches us, folks, something that the disciples missed, and that's why they were shocked when they saw him. The Bible teaches that Jesus was born to die. Do you know that? Jesus was born to die. Now, why did Jesus have to die? Well, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person is born a sinner and separate from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin brought death to humankind. Now, we know that we're all dying physically. I keep getting more and more gray. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm not aging backwards. I'm aging forwards. We know everything around us is decaying. I think the scientific word for that is entropy. Okay? The physical world is not getting better. But more importantly, the Bible teaches that spiritually we're born dying. We're born separate from God. We're born separate. This was symbolized in the garden when Adam and Eve were pushed out of the garden because of their sin. God put an angel with a flaming sword in front of them, basically saying, "You cannot enter. There is no access." In the Old Testament, in the temple, there was a veil between the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt. The veil was simply saying, no access. Folks, our sin that we commit, we're born sinners, makes it impossible for us to access God. But fortunately, the one who created us is a good God. He's a loving God. He did not leave us stuck separate from Him. The Bible says in Romans that God showed His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was born to die and the disciples missed it. But the Bible says Jesus also was born to live. And the disciples really missed that one. Look with me, if you would, in your text, Luke chapter 24, if you would. Look with me at verse 45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.' Now, what are the two elements that repentance and forgiveness can be preached and given? What are two elements that are necessary for me to stand here and say, there is forgiveness available for you? Christ should suffer. He did that on the cross. And what's the second element? Do you see it here? And that on the third day, he should rise. Do you know that the Bible teaches that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, even though he went to the cross, if he did not rise from the dead, there still is no hope for our salvation. Jesus' death and resurrection are tied to our salvation. So folks, this morning what we're doing is we're remembering Jesus rising from the dead. And can I be honest with you? It is difficult for me to comprehend how that could happen. I've never seen anybody rise from the dead, except on TV. Have you? But God doesn't ask us to be able to comprehend things. He says, I just want you to trust me. And God has given me so many things in His Word, hints and signs that He's right, that I can trust Him on the hard things, such as trusting that there's a resurrection. The Bible says, for all have sinned. Do you know that I have children, and children have unequivocally taught me that people can sin? You don't have to teach a two-year-old to get angry and want their way. It's just natural. Maybe your kids are perfect. You don't have to teach them that. The Bible gives us conscience, something inside of us that keeps saying there is a moral lawgiver. There is right and wrong. I didn't put that in there. God put that in there. The Bible says God gives us creation. We can look around and see the beauty of creation. And there is someone out there that did this, folks. The Bible also gives us the church. The Bible gives us His Word. And folks, can I be honest with you? I'm 41 years old. I know I don't look it. 41 years old. And there are things in this book that are hard for me to believe. But God has given me so much other evidence. And God has worked in my own life to the point that I can trust Him. Have you trusted Him? The disciples missed the obvious. Jesus is like, listen, man, I have given you like this much book. That's a lot of Old Testament. Saying that I'm coming. Saying that I'm going to die. But you missed it. But that's okay. Let me help you understand. You know, there may be some people here who've missed the obvious. And that's nothing on you. We all do it. But perhaps you're here today because God wants you to say, hey, listen, I want you to understand today that there is a God and that He loves you. The most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That giving wasn't just to give to die. It was also to give to raise to life. Folks, today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 3 points quickly. Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepts Christ's payment for our sins. You may say, what's the big deal with the resurrection? Well, do you know that if He did not rise from the dead, God would not accept His payment? 1 Corinthians 15 says this, if Christ is not risen, then you are still dead in your sins and your faith is vain. But in fact, Christ has raised from the dead. Now, who did that? Who raised the Son from the dead? Well, the Father did. God accepted Jesus' cross so much, Philippians tells us that He has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says that one day, everyone sitting in this room will bow the knee to Jesus and say, guess what, You're Lord, I'm not. And the wise thing is to do it while you have a choice. One day you'll have no choice. Every knee is going to bow to Him. But right now you have a choice. The resurrection proves that God accepted Christ's payment for my sin. Second point, the resurrection proves that God accepts me just like I was Christ. Romans chapter 6 says, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. So folks, listen to this. This is a wonderful thought. Whatever Christ has done, God considers that I have done. In other words, He sees me in Christ. We're together. So when God sees me, He sees the righteousness of Christ. And since Christ has been made alive, resurrected, new body, the Bible says, I too am made alive in Christ. I have a new nature. Do you know I'm a pastor's kid? My dad is celebrating this year 35 years of ministry. Do you know that pastor's kids can be really bad? I was a bad pastor's kid. You know who you are? Bad pastor's kid. I was. But when I got saved, folks, I can't explain this. Something inside of me happened, and I began to want to do right. I began to want righteousness. I began to say, I don't want to do wrong, but I want to follow You. You're my Lord. I have an affection to do right. Okay. Who did that? God did that. Why? Because if he could raise Christ from the dead and give him new life, he also can give me new life. Whoever is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. Folks, the resurrection is pivotal. It's important. It's foundational. What a precious gift. Last thought. Jesus' resurrection proves that I can be victorious. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that like Adam passed on sin nature to all men, so too Christ passes on a new spiritual nature to those who believe. Romans 6, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may walk in newness of life. So, I don't know how many of you have your Bibles here. Flip with me if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We'll be done in like 3 minutes. You need me 3 minutes? Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Believer, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let your minds, set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. For you have died with Christ, and your life is hidden with him in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The Bible says that since Jesus died and the Father said, that's good enough, I'm going to raise you from the dead. One day, Jesus is coming back. And the Bible says, if you are in him, if you've put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done, and it's so simple to do that, if you've done that, when he appears, just like God says, hey, listen, you come alive right now, Jesus. We will go with him. We will be with him. Folks, I got to tell you, I'm treading in deep water here. I don't know how to comprehend this, but I believe it. And there is something inside of me that's at peace when I think of death, and when I think of struggles. Because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead and holds this universe together, he is the same one that walks with me through trials. And when Jesus shows up again, I'm going to be with him. Folks, it is so simple to become a child of God. It is so simple to, on Easter Resurrection Day, give praise to God because you know you're his. It's so simple to do that. It's as simple as ABC. The first thing we need to do to become a child of God and rejoice in this resurrection, this power is now ours. The first thing is accept or admit. Admit you're a sinner. You know all of us have sinned, and that sin is separating us from God. Admit you're a sinner. Second thing, it's so simple, believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. I struggle with that, but I believe it. How can someone take on all the sin of mankind? I don't get it, but I believe it. I'm resting in it. I know I'm a sinner and I know I need help. Jesus fixed it for me. I believe it. Believe it. The second point. The last thing you have to do is confess. You need to come to him and say, God, here is my sin. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. You're going to be my Lord. I give it to you. And rest in him. So right now as I am walking around on this stage, I'm not like really worried about it holding me up. Now, I hope nothing foolish happens, like it will break right now. You know, it probably won't happen. But right now, I'm not worried about it. I'm just resting in it. I'm trusting in it. I don't really know how it fits together. I don't know how much weight it really can support, but I'm walking on it. Folks, that's what it means to rest in Christ. How simple is that? Just put your faith in him. It's a free gift. It's nothing that you could ever do or earn. Just put your faith in him. And the resurrection power that he raised Christ from the dead with, folks, can be yours. And not yours to do with what you wish, but rather to help you live a godly life and to change you from the inside out. This resurrection day is a pivotal day in the faith of all Christians. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. Praise him for that. Let's pray. Father, I do come before you this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for today. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful job that our choir did, people reading Scripture did today. Lord, my intention was just sort of to summarize and sort of give a quick closing thought to this. And Lord, I wonder if there would be people here today who don't know you. I wonder if there would be people here today who come to this resurrection Easter service sort of out of obligation because a family member wanted them to come. But in reality, they don't know you. There's really no reason they would come. Well, Lord, today I pray that you would take the word that was given, it was spoken, it was sang, and I pray that it would find its root in the hearts of people here. Lord, the fact of the matter is you exist, man or sinner, and you've made a way to deal with that problem. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead for each person here. Lord, I pray that they would understand this. I pray that they would be willing to trust in it. Lord, we give you praise for this Sunday. Lord, we are undeserving recipients of your grace and mercy. Lord, we marvel at your power, your wisdom. We're resting in your love that loved us while we were sinners. And Father, we know that we will be with you one day. You are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen.